Brick Moon Fiction presents
Animacules Part 2 Tips. $2,000 cash. The spiky haired woman sniffed and folded her arms, giving Fee a coldly appraising look. For this thing? It's a good car. I never had no problems with it. Fee snorted. Her animalcules were clustered around her feet. They sat on the sidewalk, looking up at her expectantly as she negotiated. Marble spat a marble into the nearby grass. Stax was making a stack of tiny pebbles. Okay, first of all, I don't carry giant wads of cash. I'm not a drug dealer. Bank is down the street. And second, are you kidding me? Look at this car. This is not a $2,000 car. It was made before we even had paper money, I'm pretty sure. I never had no problems with it. The vehicle in question was a boxy sedan from either the 70s or the 80s. He couldn't tell. It had at some point been repainted a mustardy green in an unsuccessful attempt to conceal rust forming around the wheel wells and bumpers. It had additionally been decorated with several pro-gun bumper stickers and on the driver's door, a large, now peeling decal of a penguin holding a hot dog. So it actually runs? I never had no problems. So you actually drive it to places. And it gets to those places without being towed to them. It was my brother's car. And he drove it to places successfully? He's dead. Stack's tower of pebbles fell over. It began stacking them over again. Ah, okay. Mind if I drive it around the block? The woman snorted. Oh, hell. So you can drive off with it? No way. Uh-uh. Fine. Okay. See, here's the thing. I need to get to Colorado, and I don't have that much money to do it with since I left my job and spent a ridiculous amount on plane tickets. Fee took a deep breath. I can give you $500 for it. Cash. $2,000. Or how about an exotic pet? Fee stooped and picked up the nearest animalcule, Echo, and held it up. They're super rare. You could probably get... The spiky-haired woman held up her hand. Look, I ain't interested in your pets. If it's worth something, then go sell it, come back with the cash, and I'll sell you this car. Okay, how about... She was interrupted by the sound of the car's driver door opening. She looked to see one of her animalcules, Unlocks, hanging from the door and blinking at her. Hey, get your pets off my car. Get off, Unlocks. Unlocks blinked and let go, letting itself drop to the sidewalk. It blinked at her before jumping up into the driver's seat. Fee immediately rushed over to pull the animalcule from the car. Unlocks dove under the car seat. Fee pulled the creature out by its hind legs. It came out, dragging something hooked on its front paw. When she set Unlocks down on the sidewalk, the object, a barrel-shaped plastic robot with hook hands, tumbled free and rolled across the sidewalk, where it came to a stop at the feet of the spiky-haired woman. She took a reflexive step back, looking stricken. I'm sorry about that, Fee began. They get into things all the time. She stopped, noticing that the woman was staring at the plastic robot with an odd look on her face. Is something... Ow! She yelped as Sparky brushed past her leg. Sparky waddled over with its stubby legs and sat next to the plastic robot. With a shake of its shaggy head, it reached out a paw and zapped the plastic toy with a spark of electricity. The toy skittered sideways an inch or two. One of the other animalcules, Buttons, approached and sniffed the toy for a moment, examining it. Fee noticed the spiky-haired woman was still staring fixedly at the toy. Her eyes avoided the animalcule sitting next to it. Buttons pressed its paw to the yellow spot on the robot's back. The robot's eyes lit up blue and its legs twitched rapidly.
Overdrive power unleash! Overdrive power unleash!
The spiky-haired woman quickly stooped and snatched up the chattering toy. Kevin's robot. Oh my god! I thought it was gone! She hit the yellow button on its back to silence it and grinned. I can't believe you found this. This is my brother's prized possession. I would have sold the car and never known it was there.
Oh, well, don't mention it. But if you wanted to sell me this car for, say, $500?
No way. I'm grateful, but not stupid.
But your brother's... the sentimental value has got to be worth more than...
The spiky-haired woman laughed.
Sentimental value? This is a limited edition nuclear galactor from season one. And it's in working condition. I can sell this for thousands on eBay. You know what? Give me $750 for the car and we're good.
How about seven even?
$750.
The tiny tower of pebbles fell over again. Stacks began rebuilding.
Fine, $750.
The interior of the car had a stale, acrid smell. The springs on the right side of her bucket seat were more worn than the left, leaving her sitting at a tilt, which she suspected was not going to be easy on her back over the long road trip ahead. She was mildly surprised when the engine actually started. Her animalcules leapt over her, one after another, and arranged themselves in the back seat where they sat in a row. Buttons and tape were stared at her through the rearview mirror. The car ran surprisingly smoothly. The air conditioner only blew hot air, and the radio was stuck on the AM setting, but she could live with those things for a couple of days. Once she was out of town on I-10, she pulled out her cell phone and called Keiko to let her know that she was safely on her way.
That is great, B.
I figure with no problems, I could be there by tomorrow afternoon.
Awesome! Which highway you take?
I-10 to...
No! You should be taking I-25.
B set the phone on the passenger seat, tapping the speaker button.
Look, I live in this country. I flew all over it in a couple of days. I got this.
Yes, very good. But I-25 is much faster. I send you a map.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, I need to ask you something.
Yes, the animalcules.
Yes, them. You're the only person who hasn't instantly changed the subject when I mention them. Why?
Yes, it is an effect of the animalcules. I think it's something they do on purpose. I think maybe like a pheromone or a telepathic field, maybe. They make people not want to think about them. Except people who they like or people who are like them.
You mean people who are like them or people who like them?
Yes! You see, one of my animalcules, Magnet, likes to hang on the refrigerator door all day. It's so cute! And you know, I would hang there next to him if I could.
So, it's sounding to me like you don't actually know why people act weird around them. I was really hoping... I mean, not to be rude, but is there anything you have learned about them? Like, why they suddenly appeared in my house?
No, I don't know that. But they appeared in my house, too. We will figure it out together!
Yeah. What about the giant one in Mexico? Any ideas about that?
No, I wish I had a giant animalcule, though.
Okay, but look, I'm driving through hundreds of miles of desert with a car full of mystery creatures because you said we had to get to Boulder.
Yes, very important. We bring the animalcules to Boulder because of the Prism Planet.
The what?
The Prism Planet. I hang up now and email you the manual. It's very beautiful.
B's phone flashed, call ended as Keiko hung up. After a moment, a message popped up that a file was trying to download. From the back seat, there was a sudden sharp sound of upholstery tearing. Ripper, stop it! Another 5 miles down the highway, the download was still at 2%. She noticed her phone had dropped from full bars to just one. A few hours later, the hill country had given way to desert, and the cell phone lost its last bar. She wondered what the manual Keiko was trying to send her could possibly be. She couldn't have a manual to operate the animalcules. That was crazy. Appealing, maybe, but crazy. Maybe Keiko was crazy. That seemed much more likely. She ate a dinner of cheese crackers and energy drink while driving. She'd planned to stop for the night at some motel or other along the way, but she hadn't seen any in some time now. Worse, she hadn't seen any gas stations, or bathrooms, or gas stations with bathrooms. Eventually, she was forced to pull over. There were wispy little desert trees lining the highway, which at night took the form of twisted shadows. Fee didn't want to go near any of them, but need forced her. She found the least scary tree and walked behind it, shining the light of her cell phone on the ground in all directions, fearful of scorpions, rattlesnakes, and any other nasty desert surprises. On the way back, a sudden sharp hiss made her jump and spin around, shining the phone frantically in the dark. Then she realized the hiss was coming from her car. She found the animalcules waiting in a neat row along the side of the road, their big black eyes reflecting the moonlight when they blinked at her. She counted and realized there were only 13 of them. "Where's Ripper?" The only response was from Marbles, who spat a marble into the dirt near her feet. She ran around the other side of the car, and there was Ripper, contentedly tearing gashes in the now completely flat left tire. Ripper looked up at her and blinked. She sputtered incoherently for a few seconds before managing words. "What? Why?" Ripper blinked again and then turned back to the tire and raised a tiny clawed paw to add another long, thin gash to the sidewall. "Stop that!" She scooped Ripper up in her arms. The creature allowed itself to be held without struggle. Fee clutched it to her chest and leaned against the car. "Tabor, leave it alone!" Masking tape isn't going to fix it. Not knowing what else to do, she got back in the car. Her animalcules joined her, piling into the back seat and looking at her in the rearview mirror. She ignored them and sat staring through the windshield for several minutes. Then, her cell phone chirped and lit up with a message. "Download complete." The bars were back, and Keiko had sent her a very large file, PrisonPlanetRules.pdf. When she opened it, she found herself looking at a brightly colored title page with the words "Prison Planet" in purple and green above a lovingly drawn psychedelic landscape with orange and blue trees bent at odd angles and a waterfall that seemed to cascade sideways. There was a small creature sitting near this waterfall, and it appeared to be engaged in tearing gashes in the leaves of a bush. The color of the fur, the shape of its ears, the big black eyes, there was no mistaking it. It was an animalcule. And it wasn't just any animalcule. It was Ripper. The only other words on the title page were in small print at the bottom. Copyright 1987, Max Spool. She looked up at the mirror. The big black eyes of Echo, Buttons, and Ripper stared back at her. She heard a tiny thump as Marble spat a marble at the back of her seat. Her phone went off again, making her jump.
"Fee, you answered your phone. I tried calling for hours."
"I was in a place that didn't have good reception. What is this file you sent me?"
"Yes, that is the manual."
"For a planet?" Keiko's laugh was bright and musical.
"The goal is to be the first one to use your animalcules to go to the portal and go home. Isn't that a wonderful goal? To go home?"
"It has. The animalcule on the cover? It's one of mine."
"Really? I thought maybe because it's not one of mine. All mine are listed in the manual, though. Boost, magnet, curls, bounce. All are mine. There are also lots of them I didn't know, so I thought must be yours. Only the big one in Mexico is not listed. There's nothing like that in the manual."
Does it explain what they are?"
"No, it is very mysterious. But obviously the man who created the game, Max Spool, knew about animalcules and about our animalcules in particular. That's why we go to Boulder to talk to him."
"He lives in Boulder?"
"Yes, he has a mansion there. He got very rich from Prison Planet. I read all about it on the internet."
What else does it say about him?
Him?
Shut up, Echo.
He started out as inventor. I was not very successful. I like his inventions, though. He created a mini greenhouse to grow celery in your kitchen. I looked for one in the internet, but they don't sell them anymore. It's too bad. I love celery. Also, he made something called Hue Sensor for books to help you organize your bookshelves by color.
Okay, he sounds insane. How does he know about the animalcules?
I can't find anything, except that he created the game with animalcules in it.
Maybe they followed him around like they're following us. Maybe he found some way to get rid of them, and that's why we're stuck with them now. I need to talk to him.
Yes, but there's a slight problem.
What? Keiko sighed.
Max Spool disappeared almost a month ago. Actually, the day before I got my animalcules. Probably the day before you got yours, too.
Oh, God. He better not have died. That better not be the only way to get rid of them.
No! We must be positive. Positivity is important. He is alive and we will find him. We will work together. How soon will you be in Boulder?
Nalfi sighed. Yeah. It may be a while. I got a flat tire in the middle of nowhere. Not really. I kind of spent the last of my cash on this car and... Oh my God, Ripper, leave the upholstery alone.
It's okay, V. Send me your GPS coordinates. I send tow truck.
It was almost dawn before Fee was able to check into a motel room in Albuquerque. The flat tire was fixed, but she was too exhausted to keep driving. If Keiko hadn't booked her a room and paid for it online, she would have had to sleep in the car. Her animalcules made themselves at home in the motel room. Sparky shorted out the desk lamp. Flipper kept itself busy turning the pages of Gideon's Bible. And Buttons quickly found the remote control. The news channel was still showing footage of the destruction in Mexico City caused by the giant animalcule, Diggs.
And with the evacuations ongoing, we are now estimating that over 130 buildings in the Benito Juarez district of Mexico City have collapsed. Been dug up, if you will, by a... Well, I think we can all agree that it's not important how these buildings have been dug up or what might have done so. What's important is the story unfolding before us. A story of buildings and people.
Buttons, turn it off. Unlocks, leave the minibar alone. Hides. Come back here now with my phone. Give it to me. I need to answer it. Give it to me. Ow, damn it, Sparky. Hello?
Hello, Fee. How are you doing now?
Better. Thanks again for the room.
Oh, I'm happy to help. How are your animalcules?
They're the same as ever.
Oh, good. I cannot wait for my animalcules to meet yours. They are so wonderful, you know?
Fee lay back on the motel bed and rubbed the spot on her arm where Sparky had shocked her. They sure are something.
On my flight to L.A., my animalcules sit in the aisle of the plane and no one even noticed them. The blows blew cool air at me when the plane got hot and coffee brought me hot coffee. They are so helpful and sweet.
One of mine is covering the TV screen with masking tape right now.
Yes, they do so many cute things. Did I tell you how they first appeared in my house? It was late, and I was watching a sad movie on my couch. It was so sad, it made me start to cry, and suddenly there was an adorable animal sitting next to me, and it gives me a tissue. And I somehow know that its name is Tissues. It was so wonderful, I laughed. And then I saw another one bouncing up and down on the other side of the room, and another one jumped in my lap, and it started to glow all over. Can you guess what its name is?
Fee stretched and yawned. Glows.
Yes! It was like magic that these cute animals came to me. I was so happy. We are very lucky, you know.
Wait. I don't understand. You like them and want them? I thought we were both going to Boulder to find this guy Spool and make him take them back, or at least tell us how to get rid of them.
Oh, no. I don't want to lose my animalcules. They are my friends. But when I found the manual, I thought, how sad Spoolson must be if they were his friends and he lost them. That is why we must find him. It is the right thing to do.
So you just... No, it's fine. As long as he takes them back. If he's alive.
We mustn't talk like that!
Okay, but look. Let's be realistic. When people go missing, it's usually not for happy reasons.
But you shouldn't say people are dead. Something happened that made the animalcules run away and come and find us. I think they want us to help them, don't you think?
They're like aliens or magic or something. How can we help?
Help.
Shut up, Echo.
I don't know, Fee, but the one in Mexico is not right. It is not in the manual.
Maybe it's in Mexico because that's where Spool is.
Maybe, but I don't think so. I read all about Spoolson. I read the manual he wrote for his game. He is a very nice man. That giant animalcule is tearing apart the whole city. I do not think it's his.
Fee yawned again. I hope you're right, and he's in Colorado. I sure as hell don't want to drive to Mexico City.
Yes, you still have a lot of driving to do. You should have taken I-25. You should rest now. We talk later.
Okay. The building was shaking when Fee awoke. From outside, there was a deafening boom followed by muffled screams. She jerked up into a sitting position to find her animalcules all sitting on the bed looking at her. What the hell's going on? There was another boom. The room shook again and Ripper ripped a small gash in the bedspread. Fee got up and went to the window. Outside, people were running. Others were looking at something to the right and trying to film whatever it was on their cell phones. Fee pulled her shoes on hurriedly and ran out. What's going on? A tall, skinny man in ear gauges looked away from his phone just long enough to answer.
We're gonna be on the news, look!
Fee walked past him. Hey, don't block my shot! Down the street from the motel, a giant dust cloud rose from the ground to fill half the sky. There was another boom and the ground shook. Police sirens wailed from all directions. She stepped back as a dark shape rose out of the cloud, the black-eyed head of a giant animalcule. Oh, this is not good. It had fat cheeks and a longer tail than the other animalcules. And of course, it was immeasurably bigger. She estimated that it was at least as big as Diggs in Mexico City. But this one she knew instinctively was named Tips. She watched Tips lumber out of the cloud of dust and across the two-lane road to sit itself down in front of JJ's Pizza. Tips tilted its head back and forth, examining the small brick building carefully for several long seconds. Then it placed its enormous paws on the roof and pushed the entire building over onto its side. A cloud of dust rose up as debris went flying.
Fee, how are you doing? Did you sleep well?
No, I didn't. There's a giant animalcule here. Now, it's knocking buildings over.
In Albuquerque? Oh no, this is very bad. It is what I thought.
What do you mean? You thought what?
You must get out of Albuquerque right away!
What is going on? Do you know something about this?
I know that Spoolson was born in Albuquerque and that the factory that made the first editions of Prison Planet was in Mexico City. I think someone is looking for him, or maybe for something that belongs to him. I don't think you and your animalcules are safe there, Fee.
Fee clutched the motel end table as another boom shook the ground. I don't think anybody is safe here right now.
No, you must get your animalcules somewhere safe. Get to Boulder as quick as you can, unless... Fee, I have a thought. But you may not like it very much.
What?
Do you think you could try to communicate with it?
The giant monster knocking over buildings? No.
But maybe it would follow you like your animalcules?
How would that be good?
Then maybe you could make it stop!
I can't even make buttons stop flipping TV channels!
If you think it's too dangerous, I understand, but maybe you will have your animalcules to help you.
Okay, that was a lot closer. I gotta go. I'll call when I'm on the highway.
Okay, Fee, good luck.
Fee peeked out the motel room door before crossing the parking lot toward her car. She didn't bother trying to carry or bring her animalcules. They always followed her anyway, and if they decided not to this time, that would be fine with her. She had already slid into the driver's seat before she realized she was missing something. Oh, my keys. Damn it, Heights! The keys had to be somewhere in the motel room. Heights might have put them anywhere, but if she was lucky, Putz had just stuck them in a drawer or something. In the middle of the parking lot, she stopped. Her animalcules were sitting in a row in the middle of the street looking up at the creature Tips. Tips stood towering over everything. It walked down the street toward them, moving slowly toward Fee's animalcules, the ground shaking with each step it took. As it lowered its gigantic, shaggy head toward them, they all sat still looking up at it. Sparky held up a tiny paw. Tip's immense nostrils flared as it moved in closer to sniff. An electric flash arced from Sparky's paw to Tip's nose. Simultaneously, Marble spat a marble into Tip's right eye. Tip's bellowed in a deep, resonating animal voice and reared its head back. It stomped its left front paw, shaking the ground severely. Before she knew what she was doing, Fee found herself running over and snatching Marbles up in her arms. "What are you doing? Are you crazy? Stop!" Sitting at her feet, Echo looked up at Tips and repeated her last word.
"Stop."
Tips went suddenly quiet and still and looked down at them. It blinked slowly, twice, and then turned and lumbered away down the street. Fee slowly and shakily lowered Marbles back to the pavement. Already more than a block away, Tips had decided to sit down in the middle of the street. It sat staring into space and absently flicked its enormous tail. Okay, let's go find my keys before it does anything else. Her animalcules followed her back to the motel room and sat in a semicircle on the floor. What did you guys do with all my keys? Why can't one of you be the one that finds things? She searched the entire room and found several marbles hidden behind the end table and under the pillow. But no keys. Ripper, if you touch those curtains, I swear... Buttons turned on the TV. Fee checked the bathroom and found her keys near the tub, stuck to the floor with masking tape. When she came back out, her animalcules had formed a semicircle around the TV and were all staring up at it. The news was showing footage of the pizza place Tips had destroyed with the banner reading, "Chaos in Albuquerque." It cut to a reporter on the scene standing in front of a pile of rubble. The animalcule's eyes were all fixed on the screen as the reporter described the destruction of the buildings, while avoiding mentioning the giant creature responsible.
"Well, the cause of this devastation, appears to be almost completely irrelevant. What is important is how this will affect traffic. 2nd Street, 4th Street, and 6th Street, as well as parts of I-40, are completely shut down right now, and likely will be going into tomorrow."
The reporter gestured to someone off camera.
"Excuse me, sir?"
A pale, ginger-haired man wearing a dark blue jumpsuit stepped into frame and nodded to the reporter.
"Sir, did you witness the destruction of these buildings?"
The man in the jumpsuit nodded.
"I did."
"And what can you tell us about it?"
"Oh, yeah. Tips pushed them over. That's a skill."
Fee felt her mouth go suddenly dry.
"Tips?"
"Yeah, the giant animalcule over there."
The man in the jumpsuit pointed behind him.
"That's his name."
"Oh, well, that hardly seems worth talking about. Thank you for your time."
The man in the jumpsuit smiled broadly and walked away. Buttons turned off the TV. The animalcules turned around to look up at her. "Well, what was that?" "What am I supposed to do? Do I need to go talk to that guy? Is that what you want me to do? Or is it what Keiko said? Or someone looking for Spool? Or are they looking for you guys? Is that it? What do I do?" The animalcule stared at her. "Okay, fine. Let's just get in the car and go." Can we do that? They followed her into the parking lot. She could see Tips sitting in the middle of the street several blocks away. Even at that distance, the creature seemed impossibly huge. Yet somehow the news had managed to avoid showing any footage of it at all. She headed for her car and stopped halfway there. The trunk was open, and so was her driver door. She hadn't left them open. She was sure of it. "Excuse me, Ms. Barron?" V spun around to find herself facing the man from the news, the man in the jumpsuit. He ran his fingers through his hair and smiled. "How do you know my name?" He shrugged. "It was on your suitcase, in the trunk." Her skin felt prickly all over. The animalcules gathered themselves around her feet. "Who are you? How long have you had your animalcules?"
I don't.
"Been about a month, hasn't it?"
"Who are you?"
"But I only see 14. Where are the rest of them?"
He took a step toward her and she stepped back quickly.
"It's all right, Miss Barron. We just want to talk to you."
We?
She felt a sudden sharp pain in the back of her leg.
"We need your help."
Fee found herself lying on the pavement with everything around her getting fuzzy and dark. Someone picked her up and placed her in the back of a van. She was too sleepy to resist. The last thing she saw was the man in the jumpsuit tossing her animalcules into the van with her, one after another. Marble spat a marble in his face. Everything went black.
This has been a production of Brick Moon Fiction. Animalcules was written by Stephanie Jessup, based on an idea by Jason T. Reed and Casey Wolf. Narrated by Amy Weaver. Sound engineering by Casey Wolf. Mixing, editing, and effects by Craig Good. Additional effects courtesy freesound.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod. For more information about Animalcules and other Brick Moon projects, visit BrickMoonEntertainment.com.